Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Welcome, welcome one and all to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank everyone in this brave audience right here. Everyone in this audience who braved the cold outside to come in here and be even colder. Because today, New York City was pummeled by a nor'easter, including a heavy dusting on the marquee at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Leading up to this storm, officials forecasted up to 8 inches of snow. Of course, as is usually the case, that 8 inches is more like a confident 5. But you know what they say. You know what they say. It's not about the depth of the snow. It's how you plow it. Back in the day, snow used to mean no school, but not anymore. Because instead, in New York, students had a remote learning day, as in the chances of learning, remote. The early morning snowstorm, is this true? It depressed turnout in a very important special election today in New York, the race to replace George Santos. The candidates for that Long Island seat are Republican Mazie Pillip and Democrat Tom Suozzi. It's a showdown we're calling Mazie v. Suozzi, Democracy Kamikaze on Long Ozzy. The Republican, it's going to catch on. No, that's okay. Doesn't deserve that. The Republican has an unusual resume. She's a local legislator and a registered Democrat. A Republican who's a Democrat. Thanksgiving must be really hard. She gets in a fight with herself and sneaks away from herself to get high in the garage. We don't know the results yet, right? We don't know anything because we recorded this earlier. Okay, but we do know the race was tight. And the stakes are high. The GOP has this razor-thin majority in the House of Representatives, and they need all the votes they can get for their election year ambitions to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas or even President Biden. Long Islanders could decide the fate of Congress. Explains the first bill that Suozzi has promised to pass, H.R. 273, the Beatles couldn't hold Billy Joel's freaking jockstrap. Now, a lot of people are looking at this as a bellwether for the presidential election. One Republican voter described her priorities.
I supported Mazie because I think she's a little tougher on crime. And to be honest with you, that's what the whole country is afraid of, the crime. We don't care about democracy. That's already done.
We don't care about democracy? Donald Trump, I think I found your new VP. Now, that's done. Democracy's democracy. A lot of Democrats voted early in this election, so Republicans needed a big turnout today, which is why they hatched a brilliant plan to get voters to the polls, even in the snow.
Republicans here say if voters can't get to the polls, they have monster trucks at the ready to pick them up and get them to the polls.
Oh, yeah, this Tuesday, it's special election Monster Jam, live from Long Island, featuring the Enfranchiser. El Ballot Loco and Governor Kathy Hochul-Saurus. To quote the 4 words most often used to cancel vacations, there's some COVID news. We just learned that the CDC plans to drop its 5-day COVID isolation guidelines. What? No isolation? You've been telling us for years that we need to be mindful of infecting our friends and neighbors. They also announced this new CDC slogan, JK, lols. One of the reasons why this is such big news is because it's the first loosening of COVID isolation recommendations since 2021, which is when they told us it was finally okay to leave our personal human hamster balls. So what do the guidelines actually say? Well, from now on, you are free to go back to your life if you're fever-free for at least 24 hours without the aid of medication and your symptoms are mild and improving. So remember, when you're riding in the elevator with Todd from accounting and he's coughing all the way to the 10th floor, it's fine as long as he was worse yesterday. There's going to be a new person. What else has changed? Is this there's going to be a new person overseeing elections for the GOP soon, because reportedly, Ronna McDaniel is stepping down as chair of the Republican National Committee, and Donald Trump wants to replace her with North Carolina GOP chair and co-worker who just found out there was an office Christmas party last year, Michael Whatley. But the really interesting story here is who Trump reportedly wants to make co-chair, because it's none other than his daughter-in-law and woman who thought Get Out was a rom-com, Lara Trump. Now, many folks are saying this choice reeks of corruption. And in response to her critics, Lara released this statement.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Still slaps. As in, I feel like I'm being slapped. Trump said this about the endorsement.
Lara is an extremely talented communicator and is dedicated to all that MAGA stands for. She has told me she wants to accept this challenge and would be great. Every penny will be used properly. Yes, it's true. Every penny will be used. Every penny. No, listen, no, folks, listen up. Listen, every penny. Look, every penny will be used properly. All the folding money will be misappropriated because daddy's got legal bills.
I say, why stop with Lara? A future Trump administration could have Jared as chief of staff, Ivanka as ambassador to the UN, and Don Jr. as head of the DEA, the Drug Enjoyment Agency. Folks are still rattled by Trump's statement that he would encourage Russia to do what it wanted to our NATO allies. And I'm being told right now that Putin has pushed France out of a window. Well, now we have an update from former National Security Advisor and Colonel Sanders' brother who went to Kentucky Fried Law School, John Bolton. In an upcoming book, Bolton predicts that if Trump is elected, NATO would be in real jeopardy. I think he would try to get out. And you know he wouldn't do it to their face. He would just send NATO one of those Pizza Hut breakup pizzas. This is such a shocking idea that President Biden took a break from succumbing to entropy to express his opinion.
It's dumb. It's shameful. It's dangerous. It's un-American.
Strong words, Joe. And coincidentally, Trump's new campaign slogan. the ratings are in from the Super Bowl, and it was super. In fact, Super Bowl 58 was the most watched program ever. It's no surprise.
Wow.
No surprise, you had your football fans plus all the folks tuning in to catch a glimpse of a global megastar. Tracker. Your glasses were on top of your head the whole time. The game was watched by 123.4 million average viewers.
Wow.
And who knows how many really hot ones. Oh, today is Mardi Gras. Today is Mardi Gras, my friends. Happy Mardi Gras. Happy Mardi Gras. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, which this year falls on Valentine's Day, which explains why one of the most popular gifts for Catholic lovers is an empty box with a note, "You gave up chocolate for Lent." And that is actually a budget-conscious choice this year because cocoa prices have spiked to an all-time high. You can learn all about it in the new Netflix crime drama, Narcocos. But the biggest candy news this holiday is that Sweethearts is updating its famous Valentine's Conversation Heart Candy. Fingers crossed they finally found the perfect ratio of chalk to baby powder. The actual change is to the text of the candy. Sweethearts will now offer special hearts with messages for people who are in situationships. Now, if you're not sure if your relationship is a situationship, it's a situationship. Or if you add a third person, a menage a whatevs. The new situationship candy hearts look like this, with the tagline, messages as blurry as your relationship. First of all, blurry text is a cop-out. They're clearly trying to unload all their misprints. Second, there are plenty of messages that could accurately describe your situationship, like, miss you when drunk. We're bored and both home for the holidays, and I will never know your middle name. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Matt Damon.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an Oscar-winning actor and writer you know from so many of your favorite films like Good Will Hunting, the Bourne Identity movies, and Oppenheimer. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Mr. Matt Damon.
These are the adventurous people who braved the snow.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was like, thank you for being here. You know, made it through the storm to be here. I appreciate it.
I did. Yeah. Eric Adams, our mayor, is very popular in my house today because everyone got to stay home from school.
So. You were one of the big Super Bowl ads this year, along with your buddy Ben Affleck and Tom Brady. As if I have to ask, whose idea was this?
That is clearly not my idea. We had a lot of fun doing it, though. It was
great. It looks like a lot of fun. So is Affleck your best friend?
Yes. Yeah.
He's your best friend?
For many, many years.
That's fantastic. I remember how I said I would do anything for you? This is anything. That's what you say at the end of the ad.
Yeah, and I actually said that to him when we were filming, and he just left it in.
In other words, when I said, I gave you a chit that means I would do anything for you, you just burned it on an ad.
However much time we have on this beautiful planet, he's got no more chit with me.
do you hang with famous people? Like, who's your crew? Who does Matt Damon roll with?
Well, first, I don't think of myself in the third person. So let me tell you who Matt Damon rolls with.
Tell me who Matt Damon rolls with. Stephen Colbert wants to know.
See. Well, we have some friends who are in the business because that's just who you end up meeting, the people that you're working
with. What's your ratio in the crew? Is it 80-20? What's your ratio of famous people to non-famous people?
I have John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. We live in the same apartment building, so I see them quite often.
Okay, well, that's okay.
But they're more like family than I don't think
than friends
as famous. Yeah, they're not, I don't even
you
think
can't,
of them as
you
friends.
You can't choose them. They're in your building.
There's nothing I can do about it.
You just grew up with them.
I see him in the gym every morning and I can't get away from him.
So, really?
Yeah.
I just arm wrestled him.
I know. You've arm wrestled him on numerous occasions.
This is only three?
Yeah, that's numerous.
Yeah. I'm not going to arm wrestle you because I just touched your tricep on the way out here and It's like a brick wall. Are you getting ready for a role or something, or you just like to stay fit?
No, I'm just trying to keep up with John, is the truth, because John was getting in really good shape for this role that he's gone off to do. He's doing this Guy Ritchie film, and so I just started training with him every morning, just because I didn't have anything else to do.
So you don't run with a lot of famous people. The only people you can name are famous people.
That's right. Well, yeah, but like Ben, for instance, Ben's obviously very. famous guy, but, like, we, you know, he wasn't when he was 8 years old when I started hanging out with him.
That's so, fair. Yeah. That's fair. Because yeah. I don't know, you know, whether I run with enough famous people, because I'm mildly famous. I'm not Matt Damon famous, but I'm mildly famous.
You're on TV every night. I picture
winner,
you
yeah.
just kind of hanging out with, like, Jon Stewart and, I mean...
That's all we do. We just, Jon and I... We just meet at a burger bar and we just hang out all night.
Plan the next rally.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. I have to ask you about Oppenheimer. It's a fantastic performance. What did you know?
Thank you.
Two quick questions.
Yeah,
then
yeah,
move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you know about your? What's your character's name again?
I played General Groves, Leslie Groves.
General Groves. Yeah, what did you know about General Groves and the development of the Manhattan Project before you did this part?
I knew what I'd studied in school. I think I'd studied it in junior high and a little bit in high school, but I didn't really go very, very deep on it until I got the part.
When we had Emily Blunt on here, she said that Chris Nolan made her read the script in his library.
Yes.
Okay, where did he make you read the script?
So he brought it to my house and...
He just went, hey.
No, I knew
doing?
He was coming.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know how the Nolan
I was waiting for him.
Then maybe he just opened a closet and he goes, hello.
But he actually... That would be terrifying.
Sure.
No, he showed up, but it was kind of late on a Friday night, and so I said, I'm going to have to read it in the morning. And he said, how long does it take you to read a script? And I said, I read it at about the exact pace the movie will play. That's the best way that I can figure out it.
Sure.
And he goes, what time will you begin reading? I said, 9 a.m. And he said, I will be here at noon. And at 12 on the dot, he showed up, and we sat and we talked about the script for hours, and then he took it with him when he left.
He says he prints the script on red paper.
So that it can't be copied.
Copied.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's it like to read on red paper? That can't be that easy.
I've grown used to it with Chris. Because I did a small part in Interstellar.
Yeah.
And that was an even crazier story because I was shooting the Monuments Men. I was in the Harz region of Germany with the George Clooney movie, and... He sent a PA to Germany with hand carrying the script, and the kid got there and it was like it was 8 at night, and we were just getting home from set. We'd been shooting all day. I said, I can't read this tonight. I'm going to bed, but I'll read it first thing after work tomorrow. And it turned out that this kid had never been outside the U.S., and so he got a free day in Germany. He had, like, the best time. But he was not allowed, because I said, just leave it with me. I'll read it at work. And he goes, oh, no, I can't do that. This cannot leave my... So I'm allowed to give it to you and stand outside the room while you read it, but then I have to get it back. And he had come all the way... I mean, this is rural Germany. It's like it was a flight and probably a bus and a thing. You know, it was...
Wow. Solid. That's lovely.
Yeah, no, it turned out... It worked out for him because he got an extra day in Germany, which was great.
Sure. Now, I understand that before you did Oppenheimer... You and your wife agreed that you wouldn't act for a while.
Right.
Because it's so consuming and you have to be off in rural Germany or someplace like that. So what gives? Why did you do Oppenheimer?
We had a very specific arrangement, which was I always, like most actors who, people keep an eye on someone like Chris Nolan, and I had a feeling he might have a movie coming up. And he's really mercurial, no idea if there's a part in it for me, but I just left that one door open. I said, but if Chris Nolan were to call me,
nothing is more important to me than the time we spend together.
Our marriage is the second most important thing. No, that's not true. No, but I did. But look, to be fair, she's a massive fan of his movies too. So she was like, no, obviously, if he calls, then you can do that. And then he did, which was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe that's a way to tempt him. To give you something. So I just want to say, darling, I just want you to know that I will never act in a movie unless Chris Nolan calls. And then I have to.
It's irresistible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break, but we're right back with more Matt Damon, everybody. Stick around.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, D. Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Here with the producer of the new documentary Kiss the Future, Matt Damon. Everybody knows you as an actor and as a writer, but you're also a producer, and you have a new film called Kiss the Future. What is Kiss the Future?
So this is a documentary that we made, and I heard this story and I thought it was just so incredible. We have this wonderful director. It's about Sarajevo about 30 years ago and the siege there. And basically, the way the people who survived that siege, the way they did it, one of the ways they got through it was through music and art and basically refusing to be defined by the situation they were in and doing this incredible, like using music almost as an act of resistance and defiance. And and through this incredible story, they get linked up with U2, and U2 starts broadcasting interviews with them from their Zoo TV tour and trying to keep their story centered. And so it's about the relationship between that city and that band and about music in general and about really about light winning over darkness and the political forces that are always trying to divide us and the way normal people can just rise up and use art and use music as a way to express their humanity and keep communities together and to win. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really beautiful movie.
Right.
And in fact, you know, AMC, it's going to come out in theaters all over America. And I talked to the head of AMC, and he just was like, he just loved the movie. And he loved everybody involved with it, and he just wanted to help. So he's putting it out. And it's going to come out later in the year on Paramount Plus. So you'll be able to see it. Hopefully, go see it in a theater. It's a beautiful story.
We have a clip of the documentary here. Can you, need to tell us what's happening?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but you'll get a sense of kind of what the movie is, hopefully through this, and you'll get to see some of the Sarajevans who we follow through the whole thing. Incidentally, that's one of the things the band, one of the ways they agreed to do it. They didn't want to make a U2 movie. Mm-hmm. They were like, you got to put the Sarajevan people at the center of this, and that's what we did. And so here's a clip.
Jim?
They represent something that I realized in this war, in Sarajevo war, was a personification of our resistance.
With U2 during the war, they really had something to say, you know. That was really important for us.
All of us use music to, you know, protect ourselves, you know, as a kind of shield against all the dark forces inside our head. In Sarajevo, there was war. They were in the middle of it, and they were using music as a shield against actual dark forces.
Here is you and one of the people in the movie. Here is you and Bono. Did you get to know him in the course of making this movie?
I did. I actually knew him. Coincidentally, I'd met him a number of times over the years. He actually really helped me get into the work that I do with Water.org, and he's been a really important part of my life in that way. But I actually, we were shooting The Last Duel in Ireland when the lockdown happened. Mm-hmm. And so I got locked down with my family like a quarter mile from his house. And so I
walking
actually...
Walking distance.
Staggering distance.
There or on the way back?
Usually the way back, yeah. Yeah, he's a rock star, you know. It's tough to hang with those guys, no.
So you hang out with Krasinski and you hang out with Bono. So not a lot of famous people, not a lot of famous. You hang out with Hemsworth too, don't you?
I just sound like such an ass, don't I?
Do you go hang out at with Clooney at Lake Como ever?
I mean, for many years I did. In the last few, not you know, with the kids, it's I haven't been to that place probably since we did Monuments Men.
I went dinner over there with my family.
It's the best.
A couple years ago, he told a lot of stories about you.
I'm sure he did. But he knows I have a lot of stories about him, so it's going to be
exactly
okay.
Right.
It's like the mutually assured destruction. It's the Cold War.
There you go. Okay. It's been reported, and I'm sure you know these reports, that the Jason Bourne films, a new Jason Bourne film, is in the works at Universal. Okay. Now, just saying. Somebody's prepping for something. No details have been given as to who is involved in this. I understand there's something you'd like to tell everybody right now.
No details have been given to me. No. There's a great director named Edward Berger who directed All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that. It came out recently.
Fantastic film.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And a German director. He's wonderful. And he said he had an idea.
Well, are you excited to be working with him?
I would love to work with him. So he's working on it. So I'm as anxious as you are to see if this thing is. I hope it's great and that we can do it.
Okay. But you don't think, like, if you said, I'm doing it, they would say, yeah, it's got to be Matt Damon, right? If you big-footed the situation, you're Matt Damon, Matt. Say, this is how it's going to be, Matt Damon.
At a certain point, someone's going to need to take it over, you know? I mean, I'm not getting
you're
any younger.
You're fit as a fiddle, man.
Yeah.
Again, you're rock hard. I'm telling you, just, you know... I'm just speaking appreciatively.
This is how rumors get started.
I touched Krasinski's bicep the other night when we're arm wrestling. Putty.
No,
he's got nothing on
him. He's a monster in the gym.
No, he really is. No, he's not. one of the things about this that I love is not only was this one of the most popular commercials that was on the Super Bowl, but Duncan actually sold these ridiculous outfits.
I didn't know they were going to do that,
you
by
didn't
the
know
way.
That?
No, I had no,
no
idea.
Well, we got a couple of them right here, and I was... May I? May I be a Dunk King?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
This is
perfect.
It's fantastic. So comfortable over a suit.
Oh, perfect.
Fantastic.
We need the glasses. Yeah.
It's nice.
That, by the way, the only qualification for being a Dunk King is the willingness to put this on. So you're in the band.
It's a completely sealed plastic bag, which is what I like about it. I feel like I'm trying to make weight for the wrestling team.
It's great for dancing. Yeah.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks,
Bono. Give my best to Bono. Thank you. Kiss the Future is in AMC Theaters February 23rd and on Paramount Plus later this year. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.